Perhaps we could take a look at the book of Ephesians, please, in chapter 1. Reading at verse 3, Ephesians 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Now I'm told that that statement in verse 5, "having predestinated us unto the position of sons," and the words that are used, so they tell me, in the original language, just literally has the thought of being placed as a son. The book of Galatians, chapter 3, please. Not chapter 3, chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Reading at verse 4. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive," the same expression, "the placing of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." The book of Romans, chapter 8. Verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they," an emphatic word apparently, "they and they only, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption," or the spirit of son placing, "whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. But I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us or to us." Now the book of Ephesians, please again, and chapter 4. In fact, really we'll just read one verse out of chapter, "Walk in love," verse 2, "as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet smelling savour." The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" And just one final reading, please, in the first epistle of John and chapter 3. The first epistle of John and chapter 3. Reading at verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Now we trust that the Lord will be very gracious, and again bless his word to us. My heart has been warmed as a result of the ministry that's gone before, and I do trust that these further thoughts might be a help to each of us to appreciate something of the rich blessing that God has brought us into. A lovely thing to rally round the standard and banner of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to be faithful to him in that walk, and that he might be glorified in our lives. And a blessed thing too, that those lovely things that we've learned out of the book of Philippians, that they should be our portion. beautifully illustrated from the Old Testament. We see how that down the centuries men have ever sought to move to bring pleasure to the heart of God. We are a very privileged people. What I want us to do is just to continue to think a little of the privileges that God has placed upon us. And before my mind today is just to bring a little thought before you regarding the sonship into which you and I have been brought if today we are saved by the grace of God. And I'm very thankful for salvation, and I'm very thankful for that salvation debt. As a young boy, when first bowing the knees to the Lord Jesus, I really thought that all salvation was doing was causing me to know my sins forgiven and causing me to have a certain destiny, sure, guaranteed in the Lord Jesus. And I'm very thankful that when I bowed my knees to the Lord Jesus, the Saturday morning that I did, I knew then that my sins were forgiven, and I knew that my eternal destiny absolutely secure. But I'm very thankful that the gospel brings far more than that to each and every one of us. And the word of God would teach us some wondrous things into which you and I have been brought. And here's one of the great themes that the New Testament brings before us, and it is the fact that you and I have been brought to sonship. I want to look at it today. I have to keep my eye on that clock very sharply, because I'm afraid I tend to wander if not careful. So I'll have to stay right with it for a little while. I want us to see today in the book of Ephesians our placing as sons. Because the book of Ephesians brings before us the great desire of God toward us to place us as a son before him. In the book of Galatians we're going to see something of the privilege of sonship. But that seems to me to be the thought behind those verses that we read together. The high privilege that God has placed upon us, that we should be brought into the family, and that we should be called sons of God. But with not only our placing as sons and our privilege as sons, I am very thankful for what we read in the book of Romans in chapter 8. Child of God, there's a wondrous prospect of sons. And Romans 8 teaches us something of that prospect that's yours, and that prospect that's mine, simply because we've been brought into the family. And today we're amongst the sons of God. And lovely to see something of that glorious prospect that is before us in our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think I have much time to take a look at the book of Ephesians. I really should have read to you chapters 4 and 5. For chapters 4 and 5 bring before us our walk as sons. If we have in chapters 1, 2 and 3 the works that God has brought upon us, in chapters 4 and 5 we have the walk that ought to mark those great blessings that God has bestowed upon us. And not for us to walk carelessly here, child of God. And continually through the book of Ephesians, chapters 4 and 5, you'll find that statement about our walk. He'll tell us in chapter 4 and verse 1, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. The Queen, a few years ago, in her Christmas message, she talked about an annus horribilis. She thought of the family, and she thought of the failures, and she thought of the shame, and all she could say is, I've had a horrible year. Well, I just wonder, when God looks down upon me, does he have an annus horribilis? Or is my walk such that it's worthy of that calling wherewith he has called me? And am I living as I ought to live, as a Christian? When I come down to chapter 4 and verse 17, he tells me that I should not henceforth walk as Gentiles walk. I don't walk like the world, and I don't walk like those that I once lived with and that marked my life. I'm not a Gentile anymore. I've been brought into the family of God, and I can't walk like worldlings. I must walk as God wants me to walk, as befits the calling that God has put upon me. I must walk as one of his sons. We saw how that we ought to walk in love in chapter 5 and verse 2. And we could go through these verses and see how that we should walk circumspectly, walk in wisdom and so on. Child of God, when we come to the book of Ephesians chapters 4 and 5, it's not our placing as sons, our privilege as sons, our prospect as sons, but our practice as sons. And as we realize today something of the blessed placing that God has put upon us and the privileges that are ours, that it might be seen in our lives, that we might live as we ought to live, for the glory of him that hath called us. Again, I don't think I'll get to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. But I read it, and I'll just leave you a wee thought. Because you see, the book of Hebrews chapter 12 is really the proof of sonship. And it's written against the background of some that would have thought, because of the trials that they were passing through, and the hardships that they knew, and the persecution and the opposition. It was written, of course, to Jews. And Jews had in mind the great promises that God had made to them, that in a former day, if they walked with him, he would bless them, and he would enrich them. All these Jews could think of was how they'd taken the spoiling of their goods, how they'd been stripped of everything. And just because of a confession of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, why it had robbed them of so much. And some had even come to the thought, well, this is not the Messiah at all. We're going to turn back to Judaism. And the writer to the Epistle of the Hebrews, probably the 14th book that Paul wrote, as far as I see it. But the writer to the Epistle to the Hebrews, he does bring before them that one of the proofs of chastening and the hardships that they're passing through is the fact that they're sons. Now, some of you know my son, Andrew. I'll tell you, there was many a time he had a red square just here. At one time I used to use the hand, but there were three of them and they were all up to trouble, and they usually got into trouble together, and it was a question of bend over, bend over, bend over. And I suddenly realized the folly of it. Because they were only getting one, I was getting three. So I decided from now on, it's not the hand, it's the slipper, son. But somebody asked one of his twin brother, what would you do if your father didn't chasten you? What do you think if your father didn't chasten you? He said to his brother in the Bible class, he said, I think he didn't love me. And I tell you, sometimes we do pass through chastening hours, don't we? Child of God, it's just a proof of our sonship. Whom the Father chasteneth, whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth. And no, we'll not get to it. But it's just something to remember. If we are passing through hours of difficulty, and if the way seems hard, then remember, if there is a chastening period, there's a reason for it. And God has a purpose behind it all, but it is a proof of your sonship. I love the book of John, the Epistle of John in chapter 3, because in that chapter it's not so much our placing as sons, and it's not our privilege as sons, and it's not our prospect as sons, and it's not the practice that is ours as sons, nor the proof that we are sons. But when we come to the book of John chapter 3, it's our presentation of sons. Thank God there's a glorious day dawning when you and I are going to be presented before the Father. And we're going to be presented there as sons. A day when we shall be in his presence. I believe the great desire of his heart that's set before us in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. For the book of Ephesians chapter 1, as it would bring before us these great blessings that have been bestowed upon us. I love the book of Ephesians. And when thinking again of that lovely statement in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us. Many a time I've thought of the blessings that God has given to us. And I remember that in connection with the nation of Israel, they were blessed. But their blessings were in Abraham. Our blessings are in Christ. Their blessings were temporal and natural. Our blessings are spiritual. But a little while ago, I suddenly thought, with the nation of Israel, there weren't only blessings, there were curses. There was Mount Ebal and there was Mount Gerizim. From one there came blessings, from the other there came cursings. Blessings if you walked with God, cursings if you didn't walk with God. I'm very thankful when I come to the book of Ephesians, child of God, there are no cursings. Thank God he's just blessed us. And he's blessed us, not in earthly places, but in heavenly places, in Christ. And how much of those blessings, how much of those blessings enriched us? They've enriched us according, as he tells us in verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. I'm a very simple believer. I'm very thankful for that. And I'm very thankful I just take my Bible as I see it. I don't just try to read things in it into it, you know. The old ditty that they used to tell us, wonderful things in the Bible I see. Some of by Kelly and others by J&D. Well, I just like my Bible. And I just like to read it. And from the time that I came to verse 4 of the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, child of God, it rejoiced my heart. Some brethren might disturb my mind today. I'm not going to be taken up with those brethren. I'll just keep before you what's rejoiced my heart. And what's rejoiced my heart very simply is that I was chosen in him before the foundation of the world. I can't understand it. I never grasped it. My mother put me out when I was 10. My stepmother put me out when I was 21. But my Lord took me in when I was 16 because I was chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Thank God that will never, ever be lost. But what did he choose me to? Take a look, please. I notice that whenever we get election, there's always divine purpose. And though some might stress the purpose rather than the election, nevertheless, there is always purpose. And when you look at verse 4, he chose me in him before the foundation of the world that we should be. Divine thoughts toward us eternally was that we should be. What should we be? We should be holy and without blame before him in love. And what God wants is that the day will dawn when you and I will be before him in love. I've often thought the angels are there. He has them before him. Cherubim, seraphim. But child of God, he wants you there. And he wants you before him. Face to face. In his presence. And the eternal purpose of God was that he would lay his hand upon you that one day you'd be before him. But take a look at verse 5. Because verse 5 is going to go a little further. He doesn't just want me before him. He wants me there as one of his sons. Isn't that amazing? Verse 4 is election. That's looking back. Verse 5 is predestination. That's looking forward. It is a prior destiny. It is what he's marked me out now for in a future day. What has he marked me out for? Having predestinated unto the sun placing. And to me a delightful thing. But God today has given me that wondrous status of being a son in his presence. Now, if there wasn't a clock on the wall, I could spend a long time telling you how that we are there as sons. 1935, I was born of the seed of my mother and father. 1951, I was born again of incorruptible seed. And John would tell me in his third epistle of the very seed of God. God has made me one of his sons. And child of God, what a privilege. Yes, it is a privilege that God has given to you. As he's placed you now, as one of his sons, within his family. Moving the dignity of it. Come to the book of Galatians, please, will you, for a moment. The book of Galatians is written against the background of some that were going back to Judaism. Nay, sorry, that's the book of Hebrews. In the book of Galatians, they were bringing Judaism into Christianity. Galatians is Judaism. The book of Hebrews is apostasy. Apostasy is going back from Judaism is bringing it in. And in the book of Galatians, they were trying to bring in Judaism. And they were trying to add Judaism to the cross of Christ. Paul wouldn't have it. And Paul would tell them that those in Old Testament times, they were never brought to the place of sonship. He tells us in these verses how that they were just children. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Now, I say that the heir, that was the nation of Israel, as long as he is a child, he differeth nothing more or nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. And Paul says, you know, under the law they could only be servants. Oh, he might have the promises, the glory, to whom concerning pertaining to the nation Christ came, they might have everything, child of God. But until faith was introduced, the Bible tells us they differ nothing from a servant. But what about you and me today? Or the privilege? We're not servants. He tells us when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. Come of a woman. Come under the law. He sent forth his Son, his deity. Come of a woman, his humanity. Come under the law, his nationality. What for? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the sonship, the placing of sons, and the whole object of the Lord Jesus coming. Eternal purpose, that God would have us in his presence as sons. For the Lord Jesus came, and as the Lord Jesus came, with that mighty work of redemption, child of God, just so that you and me, we might receive the son placing. Now my thoughts are really in verse 4, and because she is sons. Because she is sons. For no other reason. The Bible tells us God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You know, when I got on my knees, as a young laddie, nearly 15, all I was concerned about was my sin and my eternal destiny. But I'll never forget. I'd never read Galatians chapter 4. I didn't know this lovely verse 6. But I'll never forget as I got off my knees, I knew my sins were gone. And I can remember lifting my eyes up towards heaven and thinking, God is my Father. How did I know God was my Father? Because at that moment of time, God had given to me the Spirit of his Son. He sent the Son into the world. He sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. And the reason why he sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts is so that we can cry, Father, Father. And you know that God is your Father today simply because you've received the Holy Spirit of God. It's lovely in the book of Galatians to see how the Spirit of God comes. I notice in chapter 3 and verse 2 that the Holy Spirit comes just at the moment that we believe the gospel. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Child of God, when we receive the gospel on the ground of faith, that's when God gave us the Holy Spirit of God. When I come down to verses 13 and 14, lovely verses again. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. That blessed man, in the Garden of Gethsemane, that went further than any man could, as far as Matthew's gospel is concerned, removed himself a stone's cast, as far as Luke is concerned, put himself in the place of disobedient son, as the book of Deuteronomy would bring before me. Though no stone was cast, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. For he put himself in the place of disobedient sons, and disobedient sons they took, and they hung them upon a tree. And the Lord Jesus, they took him out, and they hung him upon a tree. He stood in the place of disobedient sons. Ah, but look at this. If he has taken the place of disobedient sons, it is that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham is justification. The earlier part of the chapter would show us that. You get the Spirit of God on the grounds of faith the moment you believe. The Holy Spirit of God is given when you're justified, as we receive that mighty work of our Lord Jesus at Calvary. And here, just because we're sons. If he took our place as a disobedient son, chapter 3, he made us a son, chapter 4. And because she is sons. And thank God today, the privilege that's yours. He's placed us there He's given us a privilege. And the privilege is that we ask for it. And we can call God our Father now. Come up to the, over to the book of Romans, and with this I'll finish. Here, not our placing as sons, not our privilege as sons, but our prospect as sons. What is that prospect? Child of God, just to share with our Lord Jesus Christ in all the glories that he is going to come into at that glorious day when he comes again. That's what these verses have before us. When he would tell us here, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'm very thankful again that the Gospel of Luke, when speaking of the Lord Jesus going into the wilderness, it says of the Lord Jesus that being full of the Holy Ghost, he was led of the Spirit. A poor man's easily led, you know. Perhaps we may not have thought that the Spirit of God would have led the Lord Jesus into temptation, but that's where he was led, in Luke's Gospel. But here, you and I should be led of the Spirit, because we are sons of God. But then he tells us, if we're sons, verse 17, if children, then we're heirs. We're heirs of God, and we're joint heirs with Christ. And this word here literally means that we're one with the Lord Jesus in his heirship. I think of him who the book of Hebrews would tell us, even before these worlds were created, that he was heir of all things by whom he made the world. God decreed these worlds for him before they ever came into being. But in this lovely verse, he shows me how that you and I are going to be one with him in it. And we're going to be linked with the Christ of God indissolubly in that day when he comes into the wonder and splendor of all that is decreed that the Son of God he shall enjoy. We're heirs with Christ, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that you suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Oh, this little path of suffering here, child of God. Says Paul, he reckons these sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy to be compared. I couldn't put them in the same scale. They couldn't weigh out with the immense blessings and riches that God has given to us. These sufferings are nothing at this present time, compared with the glory, he tells us, which shall be revealed. And it's a little preposition, us, that shall be revealed to us. God, with our Lord Jesus Christ, shows us the wonder and splendor of all that's going to be yours in a coming day with his beloved, because he chose you in him before the foundation of the world. He gave you the guarantee of it by the Holy Spirit when you got saved, and says, God, I want you to appreciate all that you've come into and the rich blessings that are yours. Walk worthy of that, child of God, and look forward to the day when you will enjoy the presence of the Father in a day to come as you are a son in his presence.